powerful. Ouch. I step on your toes a lot for some reason. Praise the Lord. So we're in a series entitled Crossing Over. It's time to cross over. And we're just living in a time, not just our church, but church world and society, all of Western society, is at a very critical point. And it's like they really want us to be godless communists. I ain't going there. We're going to be Jesus followers. Amen? How many Jesus followers do we have here? Amen. Some of you weren't sure. Okay, we'll have an altar call later. Praise the Lord. Let us pray over the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for every opportunity you give us to preach your word. Help us to preach under your anointing, by your grace and by your power. And we'll bless and praise that name that's above every name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the church says, fist bump somebody near you and say, I'm crossing over. You coming with me? I know some of you don't know what we're talking about. If you're going from one place to another place, from one place to a different place, from a familiar place to an unfamiliar place, you need to have the proper mindset. I don't know if you've ever thought much about it, but your worldview, your mindset is very important to how you handle stress, to how you deal with situations, to how you deal with new things happening in your life, how you deal with tragedy and hard times. Mindset is really where we need to be, and we need to set that. And I'm going to talk about that today and help you with that, because you need to understand that as far as salvation goes, the inheritance part, what we get from God, is free. It's given. But the harvest, the results, what God has called you to do, that has to be worked. That's something that you have to do. God doesn't give you results by just coming in here on Sunday morning and sitting on a chair. The part of the worship that really got me this morning is I was made for more. And that's what we have got to get. This crossing over season, it's not just about the church, it's about you. If you don't have a mindset that says, I was made for more than this, take that devil. Get it in your spirit, I was made for more. And God will bring a harvest into your life. The Bible says in Philippians 2, therefore, my brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. That means we're all on different journeys. And you can't copy someone else's journey. You need to figure out your journey. Work out your salvation. It's not enough to be saved. You need to work out being saved. What does that mean? How does it work? What's next? Woo, glory to God. With fear and trembling, don't take it lightly. For it is God who works in you. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. For it is God who works in you. You're working, but he's working in you. You can't do what you do for him without him living in you. Unsaved people can't do what we can do, because he's in us, works in you, both to will, to have the will, the desire, and the to do for his good. Is anybody here to please the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Come on and praise him, amen. Wow. Wow, praise the Lord. Can I read that in the Amplified version? So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. That is, cultivate it. Bring it to full effect. Actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. I'm afraid we have Christians today that it's all about them when it should be all about him. And that's a powerful thing that's lacking, I think, in the church today. I guess the most powerful and my favorite, I mean, I could preach from Romans 8 every Sunday. That is the most powerful chapter probably in the whole New Testament, in my opinion. But chapter 7 is where we live so many times. Verse 14. Can I read this? I can anticipate, this is from the Message, I can anticipate the response that is coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself after all. I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another. Doing things I absolutely despise. Anyone relating yet? So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. Mm-hmm. But I need something more. For if I know the law, the commandments, but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. Can I get an amen? I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. I know none of you relate, but I'll just keep going. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong. This is Paul talking. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. This is Paul talking. It happens so regularly, it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, ta-da, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me covertly rebel, parts of me. And just when I least expect it, they take charge. Last verse. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? Whew. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Can I get an amen? Now remember, when this was written, there were no chapters, There were no verses. Centuries later, somebody came in and decided, chapter 8, verse 1 starts right here. But when Paul wrote this, he just wrote it straight on through. So we're going to go to Romans 8, verse 1, which is the next verse. I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Next verse. That's Romans 1. There it is. I may have won at Romans 1. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway. Verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. But I need 8:1. Did I do that? Oh, Jesus. Fortunately, I know. I'm sorry, it is Romans 1. I don't know why, but it's not, but it is. It's not, but it is. I don't know if I did that or Misty did that. Let's blame Misty. All in favor? Can we find Romans 8:1? Know any good jokes? There we go. So the very next verse is, therefore, say therefore. Therefore. After all this talk about, I want to do it, but I fail, and I try to do this, and I end up doing that. Oh, wretched man that I am, right, in the King James Version. And then in verse 1, he says, therefore! You know what that word in the Greek means? It means therefore. It's a deep word. Therefore. There is, therefore, now, say now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the... We have a choice to walk one way or the other, and depending on that, that's where we wind up. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm going to, let me illustrate how this works. I need 3 volunteers. All right, let's do this the Army way. Greg, thank you for volunteering. Okay. And I need Liz. You're going to come down. Yeah, you. Our head greeter. Come on now. All right. Greg, you. I guess you could stand here. Stand here. You're going to be the voice of reason right in between them. I heard your husband say amen. So how many know we're made of 3 parts? Just like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, where he made us in his image, we're made in 3 parts. So here's part 1. This is going to be your spirit man. You get to be spirit man. When you're saved, your spirit, he knows where I'm going. Your spirit, before you're saved, the spirit man is shut down. You have it, but it's not activated. Does that make sense? I'm trying to get into today's technology. But you also have the flesh. Hey, you came up here, brother. I would have called some. I would have called my head. I would have called my head deacon up. But,
I
you
didn't
know,
think I was going to actually be the black sheep.
The black sheep, right? So here we go. There's that. So this is the flesh. Ever since Adam, we've all had that thing called the flesh. That's what Paul talks about. He says, my flesh, you know, I have a problem with. But in the middle of this, trying to pull me back. This is the mind. This is your mind. This is where you make decisions. Now, what you need to understand, if you're a born-again Christian, you have all three of these. And the problem is the flesh wants what it wants. But the Spirit wants what God wants. We can almost put two more people up here, but we could put the devil over here. You're one step away, my friend. And over here, we could put God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Remember that scripture that says God can only speak to spirit? He can't speak to flesh. He doesn't even speak to your mind. He really speaks through your spirit. So if you're not saved, don't talk about God. No, God didn't tell you anything. But once you become born again, a conduit is open between you and God. And the Spirit can talk to your mind and say, this is what we need. But at the same time, that flesh. And it's always going to be there. Don't ever come up to the altar and say, cast the flesh out of me, Pastor. First of all, if it happened, it would be an ugly sight. It'd be some. The flesh is the flesh. It is what it is. It wants what it wants. But what you got to understand is there's this battle. And what you got to understand, according to Romans, he said the battle is right here. The battle's right here. Now, if you don't get Jesus fully functioning in your life, this guy's going to win every time. But the stronger, don't add to the story. Is that flesh? I think one of the points you got to get is that once you become his, he activates your mind to actually say no to the flesh. Does that help anyone to understand the battle that goes on in your head? The flesh is also lazy. Right? Some of you, that is the flesh, laziness. You are. You're helping me way too much. You're literally acting like flesh. So you do have the power to say yes to the Spirit and no to the flesh. But you do have to say it. You do have to stand on it. And I think if I can get any other point across to you, it's this. Don't let this devil tell you that you are hopeless and helpless and at his mercy. That's what Paul talks about. Crucifying the flesh. Nail it to the cross. Kill it. Oh, you're dying for it. You're dying. How many are in favor of the flesh dying? Now, you don't actually ever get rid of it, but you can tie it up. You can nail it down. Oh, what all? Flesh lies. The flesh lies. You see how peaceful and calm the Spirit is? just waiting to. I'm confident we're gonna get this done. Does everyone get the illustration? This is what goes on in you every day, maybe every hour. But the closer you get, the easier the battle becomes. The easier it becomes. Paul is telling you, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Jesus shall deliver me. Jesus shall deliver me. And now, instead of hearing the mind, hearing what the flesh is saying, now the mind is hearing what the spirit is saying. Because you have a spirit and you have a devil. Okay, y'all can sit down. Wasn't she reasonable? And I didn't make any fun of you. She'll never be back. All right. The mind, listen to me, the mind, your mind, decides who you will serve. Proverbs 23 and 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. What are the works of the flesh? Galatians 5. And by the way, the list is a lot longer, so if I don't name your sin, doesn't mean you don't have one. I mean, we could be here all day. We'll get the long list out. My counselor's list, live freely. This is Galatians 5. Animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. By the way, the flesh is bondage. The spirit is freedom. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are contrary to each other, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit? And so, notice the word choose. And so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get in your own way all the time. Here we go. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalize everyone. Oh, we hear that on the TV every day. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives. Much the way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others. Here we go. Exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. I know you've heard it in the King James, but it's good to hear it differently. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessity is killed off for good. crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, chosen, the life of the Spirit, say Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We need to stop thinking in those terms. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. Give God a praise for a great word. Hallelujah. God wants us to set our minds on things above. Remember that scripture? Set our minds on what the Spirit is saying and doing. We need a mind set. You know, I thought I would look that word up. It's a simple three-letter word, S-E-T, set. I was shocked when I went to the dictionary and found out that that little word, S-E-T, has 50 definitions. 50. I've never seen more than a dozen for anything. 50. So I said, my God, I went through all of them. But the one that really got me was number 33. And it says, surgery. To put a broken or dislocated bone back into position. To set. How many of you had a broken arm ever in your life? Broken leg, right? It has to be set. This is the mindset that we need. The Holy Spirit will take what is broken and set it. And he'll bind it up until it's healed. It takes time. It takes time to be a spirit man instead of a fleshly, carnal man. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? Wow. It has to be set. You need to understand that this flesh over here, it's messing with your mind. I like Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing, say washing, of water by the word. I kind of put that in familiar territory. It's like taking all your dirty clothes. You say, I ain't wearing this stuff anymore. Been wearing these socks for 7 days. It's time to. I mean, they change the socks every day. You throw it in the wash machine, and when you take it out and put it in the dryer and you take it out, it's almost like new. It washes out and drains away everything that's not supposed to be there. You say, how? Because the question all along here is, I hear what you're saying, Pastor. The flesh on one side, the spirit on the other side. But how? The number one way to do it is to stay in the Word. The Word is your washing machine. That you have to keep. How many know you don't just wash your clothes once? You wash them every time after you wear them. So there's a constant washing and rewashing. Come on. Keeping it clean. Keeping it clean. I love this illustration. I know some of you have heard it 5 times. But there's new people in the church that haven't heard it, so get over yourself. Here we go. It's about this grandpa and his grandson back in the days when they had coal baskets. Does anyone know what I mean when I'm talking about a coal basket? It's what you get the coal in, you bring it in, you use it to heat the house. He had this wicker basket, And he told his grandson, go down to the river and get me some water from the coal basket. He goes down. It's wicker. How many know by the time he got back, the water was gone? So he tells his grandson, well, go back and do it again. He goes back two or three times. Finally, he says, finally, Grandpa says, go again. Finally, the grandson said, Grandpa, come on. I mean, he was patient because old people, right? It's got to have patience with old people. Thank you for your patience. So Grandpa said, yeah, I know, son, but look at the basket. And when he looked at the basket, he noticed that all the coal dust had been washed away. Now it can be used for a good purpose. Ah, come on. The word. You need to go to the river. Get the word. Washing you. Is anyone hearing what I'm saying? I mean, it's the most powerful thing I can leave you with. If you can get that, I think you're going to get it. Second thing you need to understand is your spirit will speak to you. And you need to speak to yourself. There's nothing wrong with speaking to yourself. It's when you start answering back, it gets weird. But you need to speak to yourself. I like that scripture where David says, I will bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. He said, soul, you're going to bless the Lord. You don't feel like it, but you're going to do it anyway. Whew. Don't feel like coming to church, but I'm coming anyway. Don't feel like praying, but I'm going to do it anyway. And don't let the devil lie to you and say, well, the devil won't hear you because you really didn't want to do it anyway. No, he understands the flesh. What's that scripture? The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The spirit's always willing. It's the flesh that's weak. Come on now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Speak to your mind. Talk to yourself. Be creative. You know, there's constant studies now about the mind, and they keep, it's unbelievable the things that they're discovering. You know, if they just took one molecule in your brain and separated it by all the components of the DNA and made a string out of your DNA, it would go from here to Mars. Isn't evolution amazing? I heard something the other day. Can I? Do you mind? I heard someone ask, which came first, the male or the female? How did both evolve at the same time? Don't you need both? That's weird. Poor man's waiting for his Eve. No, God created us. Oh, I could talk all day about this stuff. I behave myself. Here's the thing about your mind does two things really well. This will help you. This is the main two things your mind does. It imagines and it remembers. Okay, are you hearing? It imagines things and it remembers things. How many of you have said, especially older people, have said, the older I get, the faster it goes. Amen? I mean, I get it. I'm an old guy. I'm from the 1900s. Anybody else here from the 1900s? Oh, whoa, okay. Yes, you get it. All the 20-somethings are like, he's not that. 1900s? Buggies, horses, what? Well, There's a they figured out why that is. It's a real thing. It's because when you're young, everything is new. Everything you experience is the first time. Your imagination is running wild, and you're like at 10% of your life. You've got 90% left. You're always looking forward. There's new experiences. That's why young people say, I wish I were 21. I wish I were 18. We're like, hold on to that buggy, because there's coming a day you don't want to get older. So life just goes by slow, because you're experiencing things, imagining things. Your life is just 10% past. Wow. But us 1900s people, we don't have a lot of new experiences. Our favorite expression is been there, done that. Right? Been there, done that. We're not being creative anymore. We've experienced just about everything there is to experience. So our mind shifts from imagination to remembrance. And older people spend more time remembering the past than they do imagining or anticipating the future. And that's why life begins to speed up. Because really, there's nothing preventing it. You're just out of imagination. You're just living in the past. So here's a thought. I don't care what your age is. Doesn't matter when you think you might die. Keep your mind alert and alive. Stay excited. Stay positive. Come on. Do new things. Travel. Whatever you got to do, read. Read. Amen. Where's Larry? Larry brought me a gift today. Some books you brought me. Thank you for that, man. And he said, My mama said, if you read, you'll be a well-rounded person. Well, I like that. Amen. I said, Larry, does that mean if you don't read, you got a lot of rough edges? Not so funny. Okay. Why did I say all that? We need to keep speaking to ourselves. You know what? God can do. I've shared this many times, and I don't know why it sticks with me so much. It was in the old sanctuary. This is like 30 years ago, and this really, of course, I was young then. This really old grandma came in, but she could barely walk. And the temptation is from young people is to overlook people like that, right? Some of you young people, you're just like, he's old. And you just kind of overlook them. What can they do? What? I mean, she's like barely moving. She came up to the altar. And I laid hands on her, just kind of, okay, Lord bless her. And the Holy Spirit corrected me. And he said, I know you don't know this lady, but I know her. And she's one of the greatest prayer warriors you'll ever have in your church. She will change your church. I don't know how old she was, but I'm here to tell you, you need to keep your mind. Speak to your mind. Let the Holy Spirit change you, renew you, right? The renewing of the mind. Mark chapter 5, I'll close with this. Sorry, I'm going a little late. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Seems like she did not have a future. When she heard about Jesus, Spirit talk. She came behind him in the crowd, touched his garment. For she said, she wasn't talking to anybody. She was talking to herself. Self, if you'll just touch the hem of the garment. She didn't need anybody else. She didn't need any theological training. She didn't even need to read anything or talk to anybody. She just said to herself, self, if you'll just reach out and touch the hem of the garment, you'll be made whole. Church, it's time we start talking to ourselves and read the word, get it in our brains. Come on and praise him, amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Woo. Wow. Hallelujah. Does this help? Did this help in any way? Okay, great. I'm glad I helped four people. Praise God. Sometimes that's all you can hope for. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in that wonderful name, we come and we praise you and we thank you, for there's none like you.